Today, Shir's Masechet Ksubos on Daf Tzadik. We will begin near the bottom of Daf Pei Tes Amid Beis with the Mishnah. Tells us the Mishnah, Shnei Gittin Ushtei Ksubos, Gove Shtei Ksubos. If a woman comes and has in her hand two divorce documents, two Gittin, and she also has two Ksubos in her hand, she collects two Ksubos. In other words, the scenario here is that her husband married her, then he divorced her, and Rashi speaks out that each ksuba is dated ahead of the prospective get that followed. So in other words, he married her, he gave her a ksuba, then he divorced her, then he took her back a second time, gave her a ksuba again, and then he divorced her. So where the ksuba is dated before the get that followed, she collects twice. Rashi points out that if the two ksubas were dated before the first get, then she would only collect once. As the Mishnah is going to tell us in the next few lines, that if you have two ksubas with one get, there he was not trying to give her the value of both of the ksubas, but rather he was only giving her one. And even though here she has two gittin, which means that he took her back and subsequently he divorced her again. But since for the second get, he did not write a ksuba because both ksubas predated the first get. So we're going to learn further in the Mishnah that in such a scenario, he planned that the last get should, and the last whole marriage until that get, is dependent on the first marriage and the first ksuba. In other words, if he hasn't yet paid out the first ksuba and he takes her back and again divorces her, he's not obligating himself in a new obligation of paying out a second ksuba. And he's making their marriage all dependent on the first marriage and the first commitment for that ksuba. So the only way that there could be two commitments of a ksuba is if before each get there was a ksuba written and the get that followed it was connected with that ksuba. So that's what our Mishnah says at the beginning. Shnei gitnu shtei ksubas, and the ksuba predates each respective get, then goyve shtei ksubas. What happens if shtei ksubas v'get echad, and we spoke this case out already, if there's two ksubas with one get? Oy ksuba ushnei get, or you have one ksuba with two getin. Oy ksuba veget umisa, or she has a ksuba and a get, and she has eidei misa, eidim to prove that her husband died, and now she would like to collect both as a grusha and as an amana. In other words, what's the scenario here? The husband married her, he divorced her, he took her back, and then she became an amana, she became a widow. In all of these cases, the three cases that we mentioned here at the end of the Mishnah, the halacha is, Eina goyve el ksuba achas, all that she could collect is one ksuba. Why? Shehamegarish as ishtei, a person who divorces his wife, vehichzira, and he takes her back, and he does not write her a second ksuba. He's telling his wife that I'm taking you back, but I'm not obligating myself in a new financial arrangement that I have to pay you a second ksuba. I'm not writing a second ksuba. I still haven't paid you the first one. Our marriage is dependent on that first one. The only way that he would be obligated to pay two ksubos is if each marriage had its own ksuba predating the get that followed it. Now the Gemara says, on the first case of the Mishnah, Iboya Bahai Gavya, Iboya Bahai Gavya. Rashi says, Bitmiyah. The Gemara has a wondrous question over here. When we say that there are two Gittin and two Ksubas, that you're Govish Tei Ksubas, are you trying to say that the Gemara's question is on the next case, where there's two Ksubas with one Get, and we say that all she gets is the payment of one ksuba. Which ksuba? It seems in the Mishnah that you have an option. even though one was written with an earlier date and one was written with a later date, she could have the option to collect from the ksuba that was written at a previous date, which would mean that if there was any property sold by your husband to a lekuchos between the first ksuba and the second ksuba, she would have a right to go to those lekuchos based on the date of the first ksuba, which was prior to the selling of those properties, and she could say, I have a lien on the property. However, if she could only collect from the second ksuba, then the lekuchos would not have to pay her. So from the Lashon of the Mishnah, which says that Eina Goiva El Ksuba Achas, she can only collect one ksuba, but it doesn't say Ksuba Achrayna. Rashi points out, if she could only collect from the last ksuba, it should have said in the Mishnah she can only collect from Ksuba Achrayna. The Mishnah doesn't say the last ksuba. The Mishnah says she gets one ksuba. Apparently, she can choose which one she wants. And really, there is a machlokas in this. Because, as we're going to see, Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel holds that you can only collect from the last one. It would seem from our Mishnah that you have a choice. Lema tevet yufta de Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, should we say that our Mishnah is a question and a checkmate? Yufta is not just a kasha, but it means that Rav Nachman, in the name of Shmuel, is upgefrecht. We have checkmated him that he's wrong. You see from our Mishnah, Rav Nachman is wrong. The Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, Shnei Shtoris Hayotzin Bazeach Hazeh, if you have two documents that go out one subsequently after the other, as Rashi said, you're speaking about one loan or one deal, one sale, and there are two documents for one loan or two documents for one sale. Rav Nachman, in the name of Shmuel, says, Bitel Sheni Asarishin. What was the purpose of him writing a second document, which is exactly identical to the first document? The purpose was to be Mevatel, the first document. In other words, as Rashi says, Achle L'Shibuda Kama, L'Shibud Kama. What he's trying to say is that let's say in a loan, the Malva is agreeing that I'm only going to go to those fields which were sold after the second document. But those fields that were sold before the second document and after the first document, I'm not going to go after those. So that's what Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel. And in our Mishnah, we see not like that. So we have a Tiyufta on Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel. The Gemara says, no, there's no question on Rav Nachman from our Mishnah. Lav itmar lomar Rapapa. Didn't we learn that Rapapa said that Umoyd Rav Nachman who says the second star is Mevatel, the first star isn't Rav Nachman Moidim. The E Oisiv Beidikla. That if in the second star, it's identical to the first star. The only thing you added is that you're selling not only the original property, you're also selling one palm tree. So then I understand that the second star is not coming to destroy the legitimacy of the first star, but rather, L'Toisefes Kasrei, he wrote the second star only for the additional sale of the decal. Says, and we'll explain this from Rashi in one moment, Hacha Nami B'Doisiv La. We're going to say, according to Rav Nachman, that it shouldn't be a Tiyufta from our Mishnah, that here it's also speaking about where in the second ksuba, he added something to the second ksuba. So now we say that Rav Nachman will say the following. He is not writing the second star or the second ksuba to destroy the first ksuba, to say that the shibud, the lien on the property, does not go from the time of the first ksuba or the time of the first star. That's not his purpose. His purpose is that he wants to give her an option. What's her option? You can either collect less earlier, from the earlier shibud, the earlier lien, or you can collect more from the later one. That's the option that you have. Rashi points out, he's not saying, I'm giving you two ksubos, and you're going to collect both of them, because if he wanted to do that, he would have to say, Oisifis la hach akamaisa, which he didn't say. He would have to say, I gave you one, and I'm so happily married to you that I've decided to give you in addition a whole new ksuba. He didn't say that. He just wrote a ksuba without saying anything. So then I say, if he didn't add anything in the second one, then he wants to make the lien at a later date. He wants to destroy the first one. However, if he added even one thing, even a palm tree, what he means to give his wife is an option. Either you can collect less from an earlier date, or you can collect more from a later date. So Memela, our Mishnah, when it says that you can collect from either ksuba that you want, it means that he added something, and then even Rab Nachman is moited that he didn't mean to destroy the shibud of the first document. Tana Rabbanan, we have learned, Hoitziya get uksuba umisa. If she produced a get and a ksuba, and Rashi says, Eide Misa, witnesses that testified that her husband had died, and Rashi, the last Rashi on the Amud says, and she's coming to collect two ksubas, one as a grusha, as a divorcee, and one as an almon, as a widow, as we turn to Daf Tzadik Amud Aleph, so the Gemara says it depends. Im get kaidim l'ksuba, if the date of the get precedes the date of the ksuba document, goivish te ksubas, then she can collect twice. She can collect for both marriages. It, as we learned before in the Mishnah, on Daf Pei Ches Amid Beis, we learned that if a woman brings out a get without a ksuba, she's allowed to collect based on the get itself. As Rashi said over there, because the din of ksuba is Maisa Bezdin. And a tnai of Bezdin, an enactment that Chazal make, has the validity as if she is holding a ksuba in her hand. She doesn't need to have a ksuba, since it's a takon of bezdin. So therefore, she produced the get that the date is before the ksuba. So she can collect twice. Why? One ksuba she collects based on the get itself, and the second ksuba she'll collect with the eide misa. Her husband took her back, but then he died. After he divorced her, for which she gets ksuba one, now he took her back, and there's eidim that there are witnesses that he died. And now she has another ksuba in her hand. The ksuba is date is after the get, so that she's able to collect two ksubas. However, ksuba kodemus leget, if the date of the ksuba precedes that of the divorce document, ein a goyvel ksuba achas, then she can only collect one ksuba. You will ask me, but she was divorced, and then he took her back again. She's married to him again, let her collect for the second time based on the get that she produces. No, that's what our Mishnah concluded. Shamagarish es ishtoi vechzira, amanas ksuba rishar nechzira. Where the ksuba predates the get? And he didn't write a ksuba for the second get. And he hasn't paid her yet for the first ksuba. What he means to say is, I'm marrying you again, but I'm not financially obligating myself to give you a second ksuba. The only way she'd be able to get a second ksuba in that scenario would be if he would write a second ksuba for her. But if he doesn't write a second ksuba, based on the get, we say that he meant to obligate himself only based on the first ksuba, and there's only one ksuba. Continues the Mishnah, Katan Shesiya Aviv. A father married off his son. Now we know, as Bitti Nasat Elishazeh, that a father has the jurisdiction to marry off his daughter who's not a bas mitzvah. But he does not have that same power when it comes to his son. But the father married off the son. So the katan is living together with his wife, and a ksuba was written, and now, living together, they grow up, and they're now gedolim. So and then let's say the son divorces the wife, and the wife comes and says, I want my ksuba. The son says, oh, I wrote that ksuba when I was a katan. It's a piece of paper. It's a piece of shard. It's a chaspa biyama. It has no validity. I, as a katan, cannot obligate myself to a ksuba. So we say that since you continued to live with your wife after you became a gadol, and as we've learned before in the Masechta, ein adam oisa bilasa bilaznus, a person does not make his relationship into a promiscuous affair. So we take on that when he became a gadol, he had kavana that he should now be mekadesh his wife midoraisa as a gadol. And Mimela, since you stayed together, you had in mind based on the original ksuba. Now the ksuba can take effect because now you're a gadol. So, and you're obligated to pay your wife the ksuba if you divorce her. Ksubasa kayemes. And the Mishnah adds, Shalmanas ken kaima. He stayed together with her in this relationship based on the commitments that he had made before. Before they were worthless because he was a katan, but now that he's a gadol, they stay intact. The same halach is with a ger. Ger should this guy reishtahima. A ger who became a ger together with his wife. So he was married to his wife as a goy. And he stayed married to his wife once they both became gerim. Ksubasa kayemes. So she, and then he divorced his wife. She maintains the ksuba. If the ger wrote a ksuba while he was a goy, and he obligated himself to pay his wife money, and now they became Jewish, we say the same thing, Shamanas Ken Kaima. Now that their relationship became a bona fide Torah relationship of a Jew and a Jewess, now there's a halach of paying a ksuba, and that's why he stayed married together with the same understandings as he had as a goy. He's continuing to have that now as a full-fledged Jew, as a ger, and that's why he has to pay her ksuba. As the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Loishanu Elamana Messiah. You know what? The Kotan who became a girl has to pay, and the Goy who became a Ger, you know what they have to pay? Only the basic part of the Ksuba, which is 100 or 200. Avol Toisefes, but the additional, if he was Mechayev himself, he obligated himself to pay additional in the ksuba, ain law. That the Giyaris doesn't have from her husband, and the Ktano, and who became Magdoila. With her husband, she doesn't have the Tosefis either. And Rashi explains, because the basic part of the ksuba is Maisa Bezdin. The ksuba, which was written in it 100 or 200 and was written Tosefes, that ksuba is meaningless. It's chaspa bialma. It's a shard. Why do you have to pay the 100 and 200? Because it's a tnai bezdin, as we learned that Rashi told us, that even if you don't have a ksuba in your hand, since it's an enactment of the chazal, it's as if you have a ksuba. So pertaining to the 100 and 200, it's as if she has a bona fide ksuba. But pertaining to the Tosefes, where there is no tnai bezdin on the additional part that he wrote in extra money, he wrote 500 into the ksuba instead of 200. So on that additional 300, he doesn't have to pay because the ksuba is worthless. And on that, there is no maisa bezdin to be machayev him now that he became a gadol to pay those additional 300. The Rav Yehuda, my Rav Yehuda says, afilu toisefes yesh lo. No, that's what it said in the Mishnah. I'm a nas kain. He was Mekayim. He stayed with her with the same understanding as he had with her when he was a katan, or the same understanding as he had with her when he was a goy. Now, Tosfos and the top Tosfos, Divrei HaMaskil Lo Yishanu, asks on the first sheet of Rav Huna, that if you're telling me the 100 and the 200, they have to pay, because it's a Maisa Bezdin, so what is the Mishnah teaching us when it says, because he is still with the same understanding as before, even if he wouldn't have written her any ksuba, there is a ksuba because they're living together as a husband and wife. They have kavana that it should be a good kedushin, and the tnai bezdin is when you live together as a Jewish man, Jewish woman, as married people, there's a tnai bezdin that you have to give a ksuba. What does it have to do with because he stayed with her? He stayed with her. Because he wants to keep now his original commitments. Has nothing to do with his original commitments. Even if he wouldn't have made an original commitment as a goy or as a katan. But now there's a tnai bezdin that he has to fulfill. So Tosfos answers at the bottom, Riesh Loimer, the Chiddush is as follows. that even though now, by the goy, and by the katan became a gadol, what's the state of his wife? His wife is a ba'ula, she's no longer a virgin, she's no longer a psula, and a ba'ula only gets 100. So I would have thought that if you're going to start because of Maisa Bezdin, that only kicks in after he becomes a gadol. And at that time, she's already a ba'ula, and therefore he should only have to pay 100. Kamash Malan, that we say that now we activate what he committed to himself as a katan, and as a katan, he, at that time when he first married her, she was a psula. And that's why he has to pay her the 200. That's the chiddush of Amanas Ken Kaima. The Rambam disagrees with Tosfos, and the Rambam holds that in fact, even though he's going to have to pay once he becomes a gadol, but he only pays 100. She is in fact now a ba'ula. When you want the chiv to kick in, she is no longer a psula. She is a bula. The Rambam holds a nechlam. You only pay 100. And the same with a giyoris. Now she's a bula. You only have to pay 100. If so, comes back Tosfos question. So what did the Mishnah mean when it says amanas kein? So the Tosfos Yontiv answers that let's say the commitment was with large coins. Coins that were worth a lot of money. And now they became devalued. By the time he became a gadol, or by the time he became a ger, the money wasn't worth as much. So then I say, amanas ken kaima, that he's going to pay her back with the same large, valuable coins that he started out with. Einach Hanami only pays 100, according to the Rambam, but it's not going to be with the current value of the money. It's going to be with the value that it was previous. Begins the Gemara to say, Mesir, I'm going to ask you a question. We learned, Chitshu, Naitalis Masha Chitshu. If after they became a Gdolim, or they became Giyorim, they added something to the Ksubah, then they can take what they added. So the Gemara deduces Chitshu in Loi Chitshu Lo. Rashi says they were mechadish something above and beyond the 100 and the 200, which is the ikar of the ksuba. She's entitled, if he divorces her, to get what they added. But they can only get what they added after the marriage. After he became a gadol, where it became kedushin deraisa. But that which he had even done a tosfas as a katan, that not. So the Gemara thinks at this point that the only thing you would get after he became a gadol is the base ksuba plus whatever they were machadesh, whatever they added after he became a gadol, but not the Tosfos. The Gemara says, no, eimo af mashechitshu, even what they added are not the ikar ksuba, but even what they added on the original Tosfos. Says the Gemara, v'holaitani hachi, we didn't learn like that. We did not learn like Rabbi Yehuda. Because we learned, chitshu, if they added something after he became a gadol, naitalis masha chitshu. Loi chitshu, if they didn't add anything, how much do you get? So what should it have said according to Rabbi Yehuda? Oh, you know what you get? You get the ikar and the tosefis. But that's not what we learned. All we learned is that you get the ikar. We didn't learn that you get the tosefes. To yufta de Rabbi Yehuda, this is a checkmate on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is upgefragt. Rabbi Yehuda has no answer. It says clearly in the Brisa that all you pay is, if chitshu, you pay 100 or 200 plus, and if loi chitshu, you pay you pay the base, which is 100 or 200, but you don't pay the Tosefos. So it's clearly not like Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara wants to know, what was Rabbi Yehuda's mistake? Rabbi Yehuda made a mistake. Rabbi Yehuda masnis atise. The lashon of the Mishnah made him come to this mistake. Whosoever, he thought that when we learn ksubasa kayemes, it says, Gershon is Geyer, Ishtayima, Ksubasa Kayemes, or Kutten, Shesi Aviv, Ksubasa Kayemes, her Ksuba remains. He thought that when it says Ksubasa Kayemes, Akula Milsakoi. He thought that's referring to the base plus the Tosafes. And Veloihi, there he was mistaken. Aikar Ksubakoi, when it says that the Ksuba remains intact, It doesn't refer to the additional Tosefes. It refers to the base. But that was the wording of the Mishnah that confused Rav Yehuda and made him make a mistake. But La Locha, it comes out not like Rav Yehuda. It comes out like Rav Huna, who says that all you get is the Mono Messiah, which you get anyway because of Tnai Bezdin, but you do not get the Tosefis on which Tnai Bezdin does not work with. For those who have finished the entire Perek, Hadrin Allah HaKaisev Le'ishtoi, Hadrin Allah HaKaisev Le'ishtoi, Hadrin Allah HaKaisev Le'ishtoi. And now we begin the Perek of Mishahoyu. And just as a Mishahoyu, as a brief introduction, we're going to be discussing in this Mishnah the obligations of a woman receiving her ksuba. We're going to be discussing ksubas benin dichrin, which we've had earlier in the Masechta, which is a special ksuba that is given to the sons. And we're going to be discussing Yerusha, inheritance. So let us begin with defining these terms. Ksuba, if the husband dies, for example, or she's divorced, then the wife can receive from the estate, she has a lien on the estate, she can receive the payment for her ksuba. And we're going to see in the Mishnah and in the Gemara that that is a chov. The estate owes the woman to pay this obligation of the ksuba. Then there's ksubas b'nin dichrin. What is that? If the woman dies first, so now she's neither a grusha nor is she an almana. So she's really not entitled to any ksuba whatsoever. But the chazal were misakin. Who inherits the wife? The husband inherits. The chazal were afraid that when this woman got married, if the father-in-law would know that his property, that he's giving his wife, let's say his daughter, the Nichsei Tsoin Barzel, the fields that he's giving his daughter, will wind up by another son from another marriage, he won't want to share that. He won't want, and Chazal wanted her to have a lot of property to make her eligible to get married. So Chazal said that if your daughter will die before your son-in-law, whatever she brought into the marriage subsequently, when the father will die, when the husband will die, instead of the property that you're giving your daughter now being divided equally with the children from the other wife, as they would for Yerusha, Yerusha, everybody gets equal except the Bechor who gets two parts, but everybody else gets equal. So we're making a special ksuba that whatever your wife brought into the marriage, which you inherited once she died, if you die, it's going to go over to her sons and not to the sons of the other wife. This is ksubas benin dichrin. Now, ksubas benin dichrin is different than the regular ksuba. The regular ksuba, as we said before, is a choiv. It's an obligation to pay. Ksubas benin dichrin has, and that's what's written in the shtar of ksubas benin dichrin, it has a loch of a yerusha. It's an inheritance. The difference between a choiv, an obligation, against the estate, or an inheritance is that before you can inherit, you have to pay off the debts. So if the ksuba clashes with the ksubas benin dichrin, first we're going to have to pay off the ksuba, which is an obligation against the estate. Only what's left can go for the yerusha of ksubas benin dichrin. This is a basic hagdama for the Mishnah we're going to learn. Begins the Mishnah. Mishoya nasi shtei nashim umeis. Someone who was married to two women and he died. And the two wives are left alive. Harishoyna koidemes lishniya. So the first one who got married, and obviously as Rashi says, there's only enough to satisfy one of the two ksubas of one woman. So who gets first crack at it? Whoever got married first. Whoever's obligation came first. She gets before the second one. And if there's only enough for one, she gets and the other one does not get. The same thing, v'yorsher rishayna koidmin l'yorsher shniya. the inheritors of the first wife come before the inheritors of the second wife, because they are approaching the estate with a previous lien of their mother. In fact, the Meiri speaks out, it's not only the Yorshim of the first before the Yorshim of the second, but it's the Yorshim of the first before the wife, the second wife. Because they're coming from their mother, which was a previous lien before the second wife. Nasa Sarishaina Umesa. But what happens if he married the first woman and she died before the husband? Now what comes into play? Subas Benindichrin. Where the husband inherits his wife, we said the Chazal made an enactment of Yerusha, which is called the Ksuba of the male sons, that her sons will inherit after the husband dies. Nasa Shnia, he married a second woman. Umeis, and then he died. After he married the second woman, Umeis who, and then he died. So now, the second wife comes to the estate and says, I deserve a Ksuba. The Yorshim of the first wife say, we deserve Ksubas Benin Dichrin from our mother. Who gets first? Says the Mishnah, Shni of Yorsheh, Koidmin Li Yorsheh Rishayna. The second woman and those who inherit her come in her place. They come before the Yorshim of the first. And we gave already the reason in our Mishnah. Because, as Rashi quotes from the Gemara before in Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis, the lashon of the shtar of the benin dichrin is benin dichrin de yahavel chiminoi inun yarsun. They're going to inherit. So the whole enactment of ksuvas benin dichrin is a Yerusha enactment. But for the second woman who died after the husband, she's not coming as a Yerusha. She's coming as a chov. The father's, the husband's estate owes her a ksuba. Before you can inherit, you first have to pay off all the debts of the father, and that's why she and those who inherit her come before the inheritors of the first wife. Begins the Gemara, Midik Tani Harishon Kedemes Lashnia. Since we use the Lashon in the Mishnah, that the first one, the first inheritors, come before the second inheritors, and here we're going on the first case of the Mishnah, where someone died and he left over two wives, or he left over two inheritors, so the first inheritors come before the second one. It doesn't say that v'loiktaniyah rishayna yeshlo v'ashniyah einlo, that the first one has and the second one doesn't get anything. As Rashi points out, obviously there's only enough here for what? To satisfy one. Because if Rashi says, if there was enough for two, what does it mean, kaidmit? What's the difference? What, someone goes 5 minutes before the other to get there? What would the Mishnah be telling me? Kaidmit. Kaidmit means we both have an obligation to get satisfied, and there's only enough to satisfy one. Who precedes the other to get satisfied on their obligation? So, but since the Mishnah did not use, it could have used a stronger lashon. It could have used the lashon of what? That the first one gets and the second one doesn't get. Too bad. It doesn't use that lashon. Mechlal, the ikad mashni of a tavsa loy mefkin minah. Now what happens if the second one went and grabbed, instead of waiting for the first one to take, the second one took ahead of the first one, the halacha would be, no, we don't take it away from her. And she has a right to this also. That, yes, the first one comes before, but if I jumped in and I took first, you didn't say in the Mishnah, I don't get it all, only the first one gets. From that lashon is mashma, if I preceded the first one, the second one would keep it. Shema mino, what do we see from this Mishnah? Bal choiv me'ucher. If there was a malva, someone who loaned money, but he loaned it after the previous balchov, there were two balichov, two malvas, two lenders. One lent it earlier than the other. So whose lien is first? The first one. But shekadam, the gava, he jumped in and he collected from the lekuchais, from those who had bought the field. Even though his lien was second, he jumped in, Masha Gava Gava. If he collected it, he collected it. That's what you see from our Mishnah, as we just were Madaik. As we just deduced from our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no, no proof. Really, I'll tell you that if the second lender jumps in and collects, he has to give it back. So what about the proof from our Mishnah? Because it says the word kodam, which means the first Yorshim precede the second, but it doesn't mean that the second don't get it at all. Umay kodem es legamrik tani. Who told you that kodem means you get it first? No, kodem means you're first, one and only. And Rashi says, ein l'shniya klum. Kodem means you're first, you have a right, the other has no right, the other gets nothing. And I'll bring you a proof from a Mishnah in Bava Basra. Kedisnan, we learned in the Mishnah in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Tezvav Amid Aleph, Ben Kaidim Labas. Who comes before by Nachla, by Yerusha, by inheritance? A son precedes a daughter. Now, if there's a son and a daughter there, it's not that the daughter has a right to it also. She has nothing. So we see that the Lashon Kaidim can mean, I get it, and I only get it, you get nothing. So we have no proof from our Mishnah. Ikidiyami, some say just the opposite, this whole discussion. Mid like Tani, since it did not say in the Mishnah, in Kadma Shniya V'Tafsa, Ein Maitzin Miyada, that if the second one jumped in and grabbed, that we don't take it out. The Mishnah could have used such an expression. It didn't say that. Michlal, I can deduce, the Kadma Shniya V'Tafsa Mafkina Mina. That the first one gets it, and in fact, the first one gets it always. And even if the second jumped in, we take it away from her. And if that's how I would learn the Mishnah, Shema Mino, I would learn, I would see from our Mishnah, that Bal Choyv Me'ucher Shekodam V'Gova Mashagova Loigova. Since the Mishnah did not say I can keep it, it would seem to be that if I took it, I have to give it back. That would be a proof to the opinion that holds that a late Bal Choyv who jumped in and took from properties before the earlier Bal Choyv, he has to give it back. The Gemara says, no proof. Really, I could tell you that if you jumped in the second one and you took before the first one, you keep it. What about, why didn't the Mishnah say that fact, that if I jumped in, I keep it? No, because I did the Tanishniv Yorsha Koidmin Yorsha Rishina. Since at the end of the Mishnah, by the case where we had Ksubas Benin Dichrin and we had a Ksuba fighting each other, and there the halacha is that who gets first, as we explained, the chov of the ksuba precedes the yerusha of the benin dichrin. And over there, if the first yorshim would jump in and take, Bezdin would say, give it right back, because you're yerusha, and this is the chov. And chov of the ksuba comes before yerusha. So since in the end of the Mishnah, it says, Shni of Yarsha, Koidman Yarsha Rishayna, and there it could not say that if the second took it, if the first took it away from the second, they keep it. Because they can't keep it. So that's why, as we turn to the Tzadik of Beis, Tana Nami Rishayna Kademis Lashniya. So that's why in the first case also, although the halacha really is that Masha Gava Gava, that in the first case of the Mishnah, if the where you have Ksuba versus Ksuba, not Ksuba versus Benin Dichrin, Ksuba versus Ksuba, over there if the second lady or her descendants jump in, they do keep it. But you know why I didn't say that Masha Gava Gava? Because it wouldn't fit in with the last case of the Mishnah, because there if the Benin Dichrin tried to usurp it away from the Ksuba, they would lose. So that's why, to keep the Mishnah uniform, I didn't spell out that Masha Gava Gava. But really in this case, it's different than in the case of Benin Dichrin, and in this case, the halacha is that Masha Gava Gava, even though we used the Lashon of Harishayna Kodemis Lashni, and we didn't spell it out, that Masha Gava Gava continues. The Gemara explained the last case of the Mishnah, the case of Benin Dichrin. Nasas Harishayna, the Gemara says, Shema Minot Tlas. From this last part of the Mishnah, we learn out three separate halachas about Ksubas Benin Dichrin. Shema Minot, number one, we learn out. Achas bechaya v'achas b'moisa yeshlem ksubas b'din dichrin. As Rashi explains, I would have thought that when is there a din of ksubas b'din dichrin if both sides are b'din dichrin, which means he married two wives, both wives died in his lifetime, he inherited both wives, now when he dies, instead of splitting up the Yerusha as we normally would, that everybody gets equal, We say that the Rabbanim enacted a special type of inheritance, which is you inherit what your grandfather gave your mother. That's what winds up in your part. If it's more than the other grandfather gave from the other wife, that person gets less. However, what about in a case? And here there would be no fighting, because each grandchild says, of course, I got what my grandfather gave, he got what his grandfather gave. That's fair. But what about if it's Benin Dichrin versus Ksuba? Because the second woman outlived the husband. So when the husband died, she is supposed to get from the estate. Not Ksuba's Benin Dichrin, she's supposed to get her Ksuba, which is a chov. So she gets this chov from the estate. Now, once she gets her chov, what are you going to give the other side? You're going to give Ksubas Benin Dichrin, because their mother died before the husband. So they're not entitled to a regular ksuba, because their mother was not an amana, she wasn't a grusha. They have no chayv of a ksuba. What do they have? They have a yerusha of Benin Dichrin. But maybe we wouldn't enact Benin Dichrin in such a case. Why? Because the other side could get angry. The other side would say, hey, what's going on here? This is a yerusha. And we didn't get any yerusha like that. We got a chayv. Okay, yes, they owed it to our mother. We're, instead of our mother, we're collecting our mother's obligation. There was a financial obligation. But now, after that obligation is taken care of, we have to split up the estate as a yerusha. Let's split it up. Everybody gets a fair share. Why are they getting a special enactment of Benin Dichrin? So maybe if only one of the wives, children, receive Benin Dichrin, we wouldn't give such a Benin Dichrin. Benin Dichrin is only when everybody is getting Benin Dichrin. The children of all the wives are getting Benin Dichrin. That's what I would have thought. Shema mino, achas b'chayv, achas b'moysa, that even though one died in his lifetime. And that's Benin Dichrin. V'achas b'moysa, one survived her husband, and she's going to get a regular ksuba. Yesh lang ksuba, Benin Dichrin. The children of the first wife do get Benin Dichrin. V'loi chashinu l'nsuya, we're not worried about a fight. Mimai, how do I know that this is true from our Mishnah? Midik Tani, since it says in our Mishnah, Shni of Yarsheh, Kaidman of Yarsheh Rishonah, that in the last case of the Mishnah, where the second wife outlived her husband, so the second wife or her inheritors, they precede the Yarsha Rishon, as we explained, because that's a chov, and a chov precedes Yerusha. Ah, so what can I deduce from the Mishnah? Miktem hu dekadmi. Ha ikka shakli. Who comes first? Yes, the second wife and her descendants come first. But if there's leftover, who gets the leftover? The leftover gets the Yarshim of the first wife. You do have Benin Dichrin, even though only one wife's descendants are getting the Benin Dichrin. And we're not worried about any fights happening. So that's the raya from the Mishnah to the first halacha. Second halacha, Shema Minah, we learn, Ksuba Nasis Moisir L'Chavrta. In order to understand this line, let's look for a moment on the Mishnah, on Daf Tzadik Aleph Amid Aleph, and look in the second wide line of the Mishnah. At the end of the line, it says, "Ha yasham meiser dinner elu neitling subasiman veelu neitling subasiman." You have two wives who die in the lifetime of their husband, so both sides get ksubas benin dichrin. There's a special din. When do they get ksubas benin dichrin? That's only if there's at least one dinner, as the Mishnah meiser dinner. There has to be one dinner above and beyond both ksubas benin dichrin. Why? Because let's say the husband left over $30,000, and each ksubas benin dichrin, let's say, is $15,000, and they take the ksubas benin dichrin. Where's your yerusha medaraisa? The rabbanan never enact the ksubas benin dichrin to usurp to the whole din of inheritance min haTorah. There at least has to be, that's what the Mishnah there on Tzadik Aleph is teaching us, one dinner where they could say, okay, there's a dinner left over, what happens to it? Everybody takes an equal share in that dinner. Good. Then you fulfilled the din d'oraisa. But if there's not a dinner left, and your whole split is based on a Yerusha of Ksubas Benin Dichrin, The Rabbanim did not make their enactment when there's no place, there's not a dinner's worth at least, where the din d'oraisa of an equal split of Yerusha can be chal. So now, in our Mishnah, does it say there's a Moisa dinner? No. It would seem in our Mishnah that there was a ksuba which was owed to the second woman. There was a ksubas b'nin dichron that was owed to the first woman. And they all take it, and there's nothing left over. Where do you have the Moisa dinner? Must be that the ksuba obligation that I pay out to the second woman or her descendants, that constitutes the Moisa dinner. How does it work? Because the pshat is that when the husband dies, he leaves over an estate. There's a mitzvah for Yisraelim to pay the debt of their father. So first they inherit. Everybody inherits the estate. And then the children of the second wife say, okay, we all have the inheritance, but we have a chov. Our mother didn't get her ksuba. So that's considered, even though they're paying themselves, it comes out, But they're saying, we have a Yerusha, and the Yerusha went to pay a chov. Good, you were mekayim the din d'oraisa of Yerusha. You got it, and then you used it to pay the chov. So since our Mishnah doesn't say that it's speaking about a case where there's a Moisa dinner, I'm forced to say that you know where the Moisa dinner is? The ksuba that I'm paying out to the second wife, that itself constitutes the extra dinner. The Yerusha d'oraisa. Shema minok, suba, nasis moisa l'chavrata, that the suba can become the additional dinner, and thereby the descendants of the first wife can collect the benin dichrin. Mimai, what's the proof? Middle like tani miyesha moisa dinner. It doesn't say in the Mishnah there's a moisa dinner. So what constitutes the moisa dinner? Must be the other suba constitutes the moisa dinner. Shema minok, the third halach is, ksubas benin dichrin, loitor from a mishabdi, that the ksuba benin dichrin cannot collect from anything in which there was a previous lien. The isal kedat tor from mishabdi, if you're going to say that you could grab it away from something that had a previous lien, leisa b'nei rishoyna v'litrafinu l'bnei shniya. So why can't the first sons grab it away from the second sons? Let's say there's not enough for both. Why can't the first come and take it? And we learned before, if the first would come and take it, Bez would say, give it right back. You have no right to it. Why? As we explained, because the benin dichrin is Yerusha, and the other side, in the last case of the Mishnah, is ksuba. Ksuba is a chayv, and that has to be paid first before you can inherit. So if there's not enough for both, Who trumps who? The ksuba trumps the benin dichrin. So we see that benin dichrin cannot collect from a previous lien, which in this case was the ksuba owed to the second wife. Now this third halacha, no one disagrees with. It's clear that the chayv precedes the Yerusha b'nin dichrin. However, now the Gemara is going to tell us there is argument against the first two rules that we learned. Maskev la Rav Ashi mimai. What is your proof to the first rule? What was the first rule? The first rule is that the din of b'nin dichrin is not only when both sets of descendants of Yorshim are benin dichrin, but even if one is benin dichrin and one is ksuba. And you brought a raya from our Mishnah. No raya. Dilma loyal man luck. Really, I'll tell you, achas b'chayv, achas b'moisoi, ain't lang ksuba benin dichrin. No, we're worried that the children of the second wife are going to fight. They're going to say, we got a chov, but we didn't get Yerusha. You got a Yerusha without us. We should share equally. Umay koidmen. So what does it mean, the word koidmen? L'nachloktani. It means for inheritance, Yerusha. That's what it means in the Mishnah. The second set of children, they get first the chayiv, and what do they leave over? They don't leave over like we were learning till now, ksuba benin dichrin. They leave over Yerusha, a regular Yerusha. What does that mean? Everybody's going to split it equal. Who says they're leaving over benin dichrin that only the first set gets? They're leaving over Yerusha, which everybody's going to split equally. That's what it means. So you have no proof. Maybe a nechnam benin dichrin is only if everybody's a benin dichrin. The chitim, if so, you're going to ask me, wait a second, your pshat is not good. Why? Because it says the yorshe shnia. come before the Yorsha Rishoina, v'im chitema Yorsha Rishoina lomali. Wait a second. The Yorsha Shniya makes sense. They're getting what in the last case of a Mishnah? They're getting a ksuba. That belonged to their mother, a chov, and they are yarshening their mother. But benin dichrin is a Yerusha of the father. Chazal were misakin that how do we divide the estate if a husband outlives his wife? We give each set the whatever that woman, that wife, brought into the marriage. But ultimately, how does it work? As we said, it's a type of Yerusha from the husband. So if so, what do you mean Yorshe HaRishona? What do you mean the Yorshim of the first? If the first is getting as Nachla and not getting as as Benin Dichrin, then it's not Yorshim coming from the mother, it's Yorshim coming from the father. If they're only getting nachla, if they're getting straight nachla, that means they're getting it straight from the father. And if it would be benin dichrin, then they would be getting it, yes, from the father, but it would be a right coming to them from, because of their mother. Then it makes sense, Yorish Rishayna. But you're telling me nachla, how does it fit in the words Yorish Rishayna? No, you're right. I did a ton of shniya, v'yorsha, ton of nami liyorsha Rishayna. You're right. Really, they're not inheriting here the mother in any way. Benin dichrin. They're inheriting straight the father. Yerusha. They split it equally. Why do you call them Yorsha Rishayna? Since the other set is clearly Yorsha Shniya, because they're getting the chov of the ksuba from their mother, so we gave them also a similar name, Yorsha Rishayna, says Rashi. But really, lav dafka, that they're yarshing the mother at all, it's coming from the father. So Memela, this first halacha that you said that is benin dichrin, by one party being benin dichrin and one party not, I don't agree with. Now your second thing. What was your second thing? You said, how could there be in our Mishnah a din of benin dichrin? There's no moiser dinner, and the only way you could have benin dichrin is if at least the din de rice of Yerusha gets fulfilled with one dinner. And you said, you know what the dinner is? The ksuba, because when the children inherited, they paid out the ksuba, that itself is the moser dinner. I don't agree with that either. Really, I'll tell you that a ksuba cannot become a moser dinner for the benin dichrin. I can't use the obligation to pay the ksuba and make it the extra dinner whereby the din d'oraisa is fulfilled, and now I can give the benin dichrin their part. No, I can't. V'hachu d'ikka moiser dinner. You know what our mission is speaking about? There was a moiser dinner. That's how I fulfilled the din d'oraisa. But if you don't have a moiser dinner, the ksubik, which is an obligation, in other words, what are you saying? They inherited and right away they paid, and that's the moiser dinner. If they inherited and they right away they paid, that means there was nothing left over. Our Mishnah speaking, but there was a Mishnah. Why didn't the Mishnah mention it, says Rashi? Because you'll turn to Daf Tzadik Aleph Omed Aleph, tomorrow Shir, it says Beferish, that there was a Mishnah dinner. So we don't have to repeat it twice, says Rashi. So he argues on the first two halachas. Now, says the Gemara, this whole shaila that we have is really a machlokes tanoim. Va'achas b'chayyo, va'achas b'moisei tanoyi. Is there a din of ksubas benin dichrin when only one set of yisomim use the benin dichrin and the others don't? That is a machlokes tanoim. This sign we learned in a brisa. Mesu achas b'chayyo, va'achas b'moisei, if one wife died while he was alive. So their children are zocha, should get benin dichrin. One wife died after he died, so she's getting a regular ksuba. Ben Nana says, Yecholim b'nei Rishonah lo b'nei Shniya, the children of the first wife can say to the children of the second wife, b'nei balas choivatem, we owe you money for the mother's ksuba, tulu ksubas imchem, take the ksuba of your mother, utsu, and out of here. As Rashi explains, there's not one dime extra to split as a nachla. So we have a chayiv. We owe you the chayiv. And there is a din of ksuvas benin dichrin when even one party, one set of yisoyimim. So we fulfilled our chov, and now the rest belongs to benin dichrin of the first wife. Rabbi Kivaimer, no. As soon as the husband dies, and now there's a chov to the second wife, Kvar kofza nachla melifnei b'nei arishayin, v'nafla lifnei b'nei ashniya. As Rashi says, afla b'nei shniya. Meaning, once you don't have benin dichrin on both sides, you only have it on one side, forget about benin dichrin. Because we're worried about a fight. The party number two is going to say, we didn't get any special consideration of benin dichrin. It's not fair. We only got a chayiv. We didn't get Yerusha. So there is no Yerusha. So it jumps away, says Rabbi Akiva, from going as a Yerusha of benin dichrin to the first wife's descendants, and it goes to everybody. Doesn't go just to the second wife's descendants. It's split up equally amongst the first and the second. My love, b'hokamifli, this is the machlokas. The marsover benanis holds achas b'chayv, achas b'moysoy, yesh lam ksubas benin dichrin. That they say to the second party, take your ksuba and leave, and we get the ksubas benin dichrin. And umarsover and Rabbi Kiva holds achas b'chayv, achas b'moysoy, ain lam ksubas benin dichrin. No, we pay off the ksuba, the rest is split as a nachla, as a yerusha. Everybody gets equal. There is no benin dichrin if only one side gets the benin dichrin. That's what the Gemara wanted to say. Amar Rabba, said Rabba, Ashkechetinu, I found the Rabbanan de Bei Rav, the Rabbanan in the Beis Medrash of Rav, the Amora Rav, or some say the Rabbanan de Bei Rav means the Rabbanan of the Beis HaMedrash, the house of the Rav, meaning the where we learn Torah, not referring to Rav, the Amora himself, just a generic name, the Rabbanan of the Beis HaMedrash, the Yasi they were sitting, the Kamri, and they were saying, now, you wanted to say that the machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Benanis is whether there is a din of benin dichrin, even if it's only on one side and not the other. No, everybody holds that it's on both sides. Everybody holds that even if it's on one side, there is a din of benin dichrin. We're not worried about fighting from the second side. But so what is the machlok between Nanas and Rabbi Kiva? Hacha b'ksuba nasis moysu l'chavrta v'hu adin l'bal choyv kamiflegi. They're arguing, what about that moysu dinner? That's what their argument is. Where's the moysu dinner? You're going to have to say that the ksuba, like we said before, you inherited a ksuba, you inherited money, and now you have to pay out the ksuba. That itself is considered a fulfillment of the Yerusha Midaraisa. And now the Gemara throws in another idea. V'hu adin l'bal choyv, meaning that let's say, Rashi says, there are two benin dichrin. So there's certainly a din of benin dichrin if both sides are. It has the wives both died in the lifetime of the husband. So both the sets of descendants are entitled to ksubas benin dichrin. But we need a moser dinner. They owe a bal choyv money. Is that good enough to say that we yarshined, we inherited the money, and then we pay it out to the Baal Chov? That itself is the Moser dinner. Just like you want to say a ksuba could be a Moser dinner, what you owe to a Baal Chov could also be a Moser dinner. That's the machlokas kamifgli. Mars sover ben nanis holds ksuba nas is moser l'chavrta v'hu adin l'Baal Chov. The first one, ben nanis holds that if all you have is the ksuba that you have to pay the second lady, or both of you are benin dichrin, and all you have is a bal chov that you owe money to. That's good. That's good enough, and there is a din of benin dichrin. Umar sover Rabbi Kiva holds, no. Ein ksuba nas tamoish l'chavrta. You cannot use the ksuba. Or v'hu adin l'bal chov. Or, if we're both benin dichrin, and let's use the obligation to the bal chov as the most dinner. No, that doesn't work. That's the machloikas. V'amin elu ano. And I said, when I heard this from the people in the Beis Medrash, I said to them, I'm going to go a step further. Everybody holds that there is a din of benin dichrin, even though it's on one side. And everybody holds that a bal choyv is good. You know why a bal choyv could be considered a moser dinner? Because all of us are getting the Yerusha, And all of us, the whole estate and all the descendants are paying the Baal Chov. But by Ksuba, I'm paying like myself. By Ksuba, my mother had an obligation, they owed her to Ksuba. So what are you going to say? That I inherited it with everybody. Everybody inherits. All the descendants from all the wives inherited. And then they pay one of them. Who do they pay? Not a stranger. They pay one of the sets, gets the Ksuba of their mother. That already could be that we disagree. There we could understand that that's not considered a moiser dinner. I'm like taking it from one pocket and putting it into the other to say that that's considered Yerusha, and I'm a kind the din of Yerusha deraisa. No, that's what he said over here. Rabba said, I told the people of the Beis Medrash that b'bachoiv kuli amalei pligi davim moiser. If there's a bachoiv that everybody holds, that's considered moiser dinner. We yarshened it together, and then we have a mitzvah to pay off the choivus of our father. Fine, that's a moiser dinner. Then there will be a dinner benin dichrin. But ki pligi, you know where the machlokes ben nanas and Rabbi Akiva is, b'ksuba. By ksuba, where one side is inheriting it, and then they're paying themselves. That's not called the Yerusha. Then it comes out that we didn't really split the money equally between us to be Mekayim the Din Daraisa. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva holds that that's not considered Moshe dinner. Maskevlo Rabbi Yitzhak. Rabbi Yitzhak had a question. If you want to say that Rabbi Akiva and Ben Nanis hold, that if one side has Benin Dichrin, there's no fights from the other side, we're not worried about that. The only question over here is what's called a moser dinner, ksuba, balchayv, but the concept itself, once you have a moser dinner, the concept of one side having benin dichron and not the other, will there be an enactment of benin dichron? You're saying that Rabbi Akiva and Ben Nanis both hold, there would be. He's ihachi Rabbi Akiva oimer kfar koftza nachla. What was the lashon of Rabbi Akiva? Once one of the wives outlast lived the husband, then there's not going to be ksubas benin dichron on both sides. And then it jumps from the set of the first wife to everybody, we said. But that's not true. You said it's dependent. Is there a moiser dinner or not? But if there is a moiser dinner, it doesn't jump away from the benin dichron. Right? So you're lashon of Rabbi Akiva. Why does Rabbi Akiva emphatically make across the board a statement that as soon as the husband dies and there's a ksuba to the second wife, it jumps away to benin dichron from the first set and it becomes a nachla of everybody? That shouldn't have been his lashon. His lashon should be, of course, the benin dichron are going to get their benin dichron. It doesn't jump, but we have to make sure there's a moiser dinner. So that's what Rabbi Akiva should have said. Im yesh moiser dinner, meboile should have said. If there's a moiser dinner, okay, depending. Is ksuba considered a moiser dinner? Is bachoif considered a moiser dinner? And if you have a dinner itself, of course you have a moiser dinner. So then, once you can fulfill moiser dinner, and the din deraisa is kept, I'm not worried about fighting, and it's going to go to the benin dichron, even though it's only benin dichron of one side. Elam Rabbi Yosef! Says Rabbi Yosef, because I have this strong question, my opinion is, I disagree with what Rabbi said. My opinion is, ba'achas b'chayav, ba'achas b'moisai kamiflegi. It's not a machlokes about balchayv, about ksuba, whether that's considered a moisai dinner or not. But everybody holds conceptually you could have a benin dichron on one side. No, that itself is the machlokes. Ben Nana says you can have benin dichron on one side. We're not worried about fighting. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the second the husband died, and now the obligation to the wife is one of a chov, and then you want to make a benin dichrin on one side and not the other. No, that's fighting. And once it's fighting, we don't have benin dichrin. And then we divide after the chov is satisfied of the ksuba. Everything else is divided equally amongst all the sets of descendants of both wives. We do not enact benin dichrin. That's what Rabbi Akiva said. Immediately, it jumps away from the first set benin dichrin, and it becomes a nachlo, which is shared by everybody. So Rabbi Yosef, at the end of our sugi here today, at the end of this year, Rabbi Yosef is arguing on Rabba and saying that the machlokas between Ben Nanis and Rabbi Akiva is fundamentally whether they had an institution of benin dichrin when even as Rashi says here, even when there is a meiser dinner. That's not the point. There's a meiser dinner, but it's not fair. One side is getting benin dichrin and not the other. There's going to be a fight. Rabbi Akiva holds it's no good. If there's no meiser dinner, I have a bigger problem. If there's no meiser dinner, then I'm not makayim the din d'oraisa. Then for sure there's not any benin dichrin, Rashi says. Kal v'chomer. But I'm telling you that even if there is a meiser dinner, even if Baal Chayiv would be meiser dinner, even if Ksuba is meiser dinner, Rabbi Akiva holds emphatically across the board that since one side gets it and not the other, the chacham didn't want fights, and they didn't make their enactment. And we're going to see tomorrow, in tomorrow's shir, that this is really a machloikis of other Tanoim as well.